And you nothing fi go leap out for me. Come, me say reset them all. But them no hard yet, man, and the hardest thing regardless. I tell them me had to go harder, fingers no jump on the cardless. Tell them I pose up like them hard, them those how yes, you feel your hard it. Me shoot them like a target, them is a mad, them a fi mad.
Now me go on, one of a real line, I come out of a rest of the climb. Me go on like original wheel, a sweet a bunny, Bob come mine. Like election in 81, New Year's Eve in the 99. Me go on like a circumstance that make prime ministers resign. Me go harder than Mohammed Ali, they mean a them prime. Harder than a diamond, I'm even harder to find. Harder than platinum, cause I'm a one of a kind. Harder than the chance of getting cartel on the line.
You say hard, me go hard and done. With the big money tip like the Kyle can't done. You see the black diamond from me neck a long dung. A 5 pint, so you know what kind of money run, yeah. From you say hard, me go hard and done. With the big money clip like the Kyle can't done. You see the black diamond from me neck a long dung. A 5 pint, so you know what kind of money run, yeah.
Out in the streets, they call it murder.
Jam rock, jam where the thugs and jam back. 2 pound within a van box. It's in your handbag, your knapsack. It's in your backpack. This melody your girlfriend contacts. Some boy not know this. Them only come around like tourists on the beach with a few club sodas. Bedtime stories. And pounds like them named Chuck Norris. And don't know the real hardcore. Cause Sanders and no back to. The thugs them with the way them got to. And won't think twice to shot you. Don't make them spot you. Unless you carry guns. Guns are locked to a beer cup, King come at you. When trench town man stop laugh and block off traffic. Then we learn pop off and them start traffic. We dip in file long and it up it traffic. Police come in a jeep and them can't stop it. Some say them a playboy rabbit. Get dropped like a bad habit. Some of the post off if you don't have it. Rastafari stands alone.
Out in the streets, they call it murder.
To jam down, poor people are dead at random. Political violence can't done. Be a ghost and phantom. The youth them get blind by stardom. Now the king of kings are called. Poor man to pick me. So why for no one if you with me? To see this operation sick me. Them suit not fit me. To win election them trick with them. Them don't do nothing at all. Come on, let's face it. I get our education's basic. And most of the youth them waste it. And when them waste it, that's when them take the guns, replace it. And them don't stand a chance at all. And that's why enough little youth have up some fatmatic. With the extra magazine in a them back pocket. And a bleacher night time in a some black jacket. All who not lock drugs and them a lock rocket. Them will pull you up a current like a shock socket. Them will run a road block which for the cops block it. And from now till a man in a stop clock it. If them run out a round a broke back rocket.
Southside, Northside. East Coast, West Coast. Yo! Cornwall, Middlesex, and Surrey, y'all.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
Jamaica, Jamaica. Jamaica, Jamaica. Jamaica, Jamaica. Jamaica, Jamaica.
Yo, Eve, this is Steve. Steve. Yeah, we in town, you know, when you pass through on the club, see if we can do something together. Give me a call when you get message. Rasta.
Now this one is elementary. We're gonna eat it for a century. Rough find the better loose representary. Rag them up in with the entry.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Yo, run that.
No.
Featuring Eve.
Yo, hey yo, then I see ya. Brown skin, pretty face, keep coming at ya. Boom. COA, slim, nice, round.
We also heard Damien, welcome to Jamrap.
My panty dress, I know my fault. My mama make me good. Most of them love her style. Eight of them say that she rude. I know lie, me, I lie. The truth, speak true, she. Why they make me love her, say them chat about me. Rough rider, ride or die, chat about we. Rough rider, ride or die.
Maximum respect to my girl, I love the best. But when you left me, it's like a bullet in my chest. Now I'm not the same, I got that bulletproof vest. Knocked off my feet, I pleaded no contest. Sleepless nights without no food nor rest. This is Ragamuffin Junior Gang coming next. Take it no more ahead to make her confess. Sometime I feel I'm in the wild, wild west. Lost a love I had and now I live to regret.
Mommy say, woman, I tell me lie and I give me long storyline. Oh, sincerely, yes, if you wish sincerely mine. We're listening to promises, what a fool am I?
I want somebody tell me.
You know all of this line.
Trying to be friendly.
And I'm losing my mind. Me notice that you're moving physically unkind. And I'm hitting rubber lucky late night. So wine, so it's the loveliness of the body gold mine. Oh, but I might as well you shoot me with a new gold mine.
That sweet water for me,
it's so hard to find.
No, no, you don't love me.
I'm reading the signs, cause there's nowhere to go. Now that you've left me behind.
No, it's true, true. Yo, I love you for true, true, true.
It's sick as ankle flu.
True, true.
I make your gray skies blue.
True, true.
Yo, I'm a personal boo.
Tell up on the house, see that you top and strong.
DJ got to place it on the ones
no,
and
no,
two.
No.
Up on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. It's Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. Today is November 20th, 2014. Be with you till 8 o'clock. Stay tuned and you'll find out what you're going to hear.
It's a question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land?
oppressions. Raises the question, who owns the land? Ecocide, genocide, where is hope? Ecocide, genocide, where is hope? Ecocide, genocide, where is hope? Ecocide, genocide, where is home?
And welcome to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris, and as usual, I will be coming at you now and until you start coming at me, and then we'll come at each other, and maybe we'll come up with something. Phone number here, if you want to call in, is 427-3772, 427-3772. Area code 831, for those of you who are in distant places, 831-427-3772. Call in if you have breaking news. Call in if you have a question. Call if you have a comment. Call in if you have some way of helping me with my speech impediments for whatever reasons. Well, for those reasons, do call in. Well, it's been a busy week for some of us concerned with shrieking, I don't know what, talking about the civil rights violations that are coming down in Santa Cruz. From official quarters now, on Monday there was a Transportation and Public Works Committee hearing, or commission hearing, that forwarded to the City Council some really pretty explicitly anti-homeless measures. Though the word homeless, of course, wasn't included in them, but it was, I think, a mystery to none in the room. And the room was packed, well, full for sure. At that commission meeting on Monday night at 7 o'clock, what was going on? And I'll be talking about those issues. Then on Tuesday night, there was the City Council and Tuesday afternoon, which I was going to say rather surprisingly did the shit through a goose slide real fast, in other words, and real easy and real no questions asked, really, of the stay-away ordinances that had been pulled the week, well, the meeting before, because of the inquiry, concerns, objections of the local ACLU. And thank you, local ACLU, for those objections. However, that didn't seem to bother five members of the City Council. That is, only one person objected. That was Micah Posner, who I have mercilessly attacked on numerous occasions on the air and probably will continue to do so. But on this occasion, although, again, his rationale was limited. He doesn't read everything I write, apparently, or if he does, he doesn't either agree with it or retain it. Nonetheless, he voted against it. And I'll be talking about that, as well as the performers' pens, as I call them, the new dots on the sidewalk, which essentially define the limits of your performance space, vending space, tabling space, essentially free speech space, insofar as that involves any kind of what's called a display device. And I've talked about that in the past, and I'll mention it again today on the air. And then, of course, there was more to the council meeting, and we had a HUF meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with. We meet every Wednesday, Sub Rosa Cafe, 11 o'clock, and we batted around a few things, planned to be at the Saturday Food Not Bombs meal. Hopefully it will not be rained out. I don't think there is actually rain predicted for that day, so we may be lucky there. And those are a few of the things I'm going to be talking about. But I'm mainly going to start now with just some audio from the streets, which I've collected lots of. And I'll be interrupting it with A, hopefully your phone calls, 427-3772, and B, my own inevitable interruptions, because I have stuff I want to say about it. I'll try and give the tapes a little chance to unwind, especially since a lot of them have me talking at length anyway. So you can, me interrupting me does sound a little, well, I don't know what. Anyway, let's hear some stuff from the streets and perhaps some stuff from you. Stay warm, stay indoors. The Armory has opened, so in theory there's 100 spots for folks who don't mind leaving their pets, wandering in the wilderness, parking their vehicles wherever the hell they can find them in hopes they can come back to them without them being booted or ticketed, leaving, making sure they don't sleep with their partners, not bringing up any minors, and making sure they're there at the armory line between, I think it's 4 and 6. You got to be there in order to get into the armory. You can't drive your car up there. At least you couldn't last year. And it's this military prison-like atmosphere, which apparently is becoming all the rage at the Homeless Lack of Services Center as well. I've got to say, full disclosure, I haven't been to the Homeless Lack of Services Center myself in some time, but these are the reports I get from people who come to the Huff meetings, people who talk to me. Homeless Lack of Services Center is the 115 Coral Street complex of buildings, which includes the Paige Smith Community House, the Paul Lee Loft, the Homeless Persons Health Project, the Rebel Lee Family Shelter, and the River Street Shelter. That's at Highway 1 and Coral Street. Anyway, let's dive into some of these tapes and see what we come up with.
So it's about 8:20 down Pacific Avenue on November 6th. We have three police officers and one security guard chatting with a man on a bicycle.
I know that I have that. I'm telling you this as a sergeant. You guys listen. You guys care. Some officers don't care. Some
officers, and the officers are getting a favorable treatment here.
I was raised by school authorities. I understand that. I was raised by them and grew free from them. Don't want to be judged.
This bench occupied here. I made a seat.
Well, come out.
At this point, I sit down sort of in the midst of this group with my tape recorder next to someone else who's sitting there. It was kind of interesting. I mean, it didn't look like an arrest was happening or anything, so I just sort of snuggled in.
I love you. I love people. I'm
well, it was just a minute ago.
Well, you can have a seat, too, if you want, officer.
You are my people. I am an officer. I don't want to just...
So we have a...
I risk my
friendly
life.
Exchange here between
people, missing persons
well.
Divisions.
If we're good, then we're good.
We're all good, but just remember that.
Okay.
There's a couple officers that just don't believe that. He's on my side. You're on
yeah,
my
you
side.
Can hear it for yourself.
And there's one who is not. I'll tell you what.
Officer Fincutter. Hey!
Robert, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you doing? Good to see you. It's always a pleasure protecting the public. I'm always impressed. What are four officers doing down here? You're protecting the... what are you doing down here?
I'm talking to Mr. Hermann.
I don't think that's why you're down here. No. Why are you down here?
Well, they pay me to work downtown. He came up to talk.
Notice the evasive answers. We have four police officers. One squad car is blocking the road here. Another one is double parked up there.
Not blocking.
It's true. However, it is an unusual situation which an ordinary citizen would not allow or to be allowed to do, and I'm not getting a direct answer from the Santa Cruz Police Department. Why are you down here, officer?
I was talking to Mr. Hermanson.
Why?
Mr. Hermanson, why did I come down to say hi to you?
Because you love me. I love you.
Uh-huh. I see. With your three friends. You know, a credible answer would do a lot toward... We have a Ferguson problem where police officers are, you know, beating people up. We have situations where people are getting shot dead in Salinas. Credibility here is important. Yes. So give us an honest answer about why four police officers are here. Yeah,
I'll tell you, because I was here first. I was talking with my partner and my other partner, minding our own business, and he came up to talk to us. I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to go ahead and leave.
You don't have to leave. Have a seat. The bench is available.
He's double parked, and this guy's trying to leave.
Well, that's a very good point. I think there was a guy who was complaining about that a moment ago.
No, I was literally just talking to my partners, and he came up to ask us a question. That's it.
Well, how come there was a bunch of people clustered around that you were talking to? But that had nothing to do with why you were here?
Because we just came from the downtown office over there.
And we've been talking with...
Officer Burnham.
Thanks, Officer Burnham. Right. Appreciate that. We have a positive report from Officer Burnham. And so we have a report of commending Officer Burnham here. Well, there you are. A positive report on the streets at night here on Pacific Avenue.
So it's not all negative. The police officers, it did look a little, their claim that they had two squad cars parked there and four cops and a guy on a bike who they were talking to as a sort of a friendly social chat. I suppose, you know, it's not impossible. Although if ordinary civilians tried to do that, parking their cars where those police cars were parked, they would be moved along or cited. So I don't like that aspect of it. And frankly, although I kind of credit these officers with giving me, at least the individual who spoke about he was there first, and then the other officers showed up, and, you know, it was just a matter of the bicycle guy coming up and talking to them. That was, you know, I suppose that's the case. You know, who knows? I can't tell for sure. Yeah. Well, it's actually in the studio with us. We have that woman about I'm not sure the streets or the suites or here and there. Catch her if you can, Katie. Katie, do you have something to tell us that doesn't involve an incident from 2011, please? Anything but a review of the past incident, which we often get from you, but I'm sure we're not going to get that tonight.
Right. We don't want to talk about the World Trade Centers, that's for sure.
No. I'm talking about 2011.
But,
I'm talking about your experience.
2011.
Yeah,
excuse me.
It's not 9/11.
I know. I get confused.
I mean, I know you had some jailing experiences back then, and we've heard about
that. Oh, I sure did have some jailing experiences.
Well, what have you had recently? What's been happening?
What's been happening recently is I continue to have doors slammed in my face by the district attorney and the county sheriffs, the city police, relative to my husband has forged my name and countless credit cards and IRS tax
papers. I got to tell you, that, and I'm interrupting you here, because this personal saga, while it's important to you, and I can appreciate that, it's not the reason that you're invited into the studio.
It's not the reason, but it all is relevant in that the police in this community are it's out of control what's going on. I right at this moment have four homeless men, wonderful men, staying in the Continental Inn right up here on Ocean Street. The manager was welcomed them. I took them to the laundromat. They've done their laundry. They're having pizza. They're watching TV. They're warm. They're sleeping. And I just wish more people would do that. I mean, these are very capable men.
Setting you back?
My night job. For 2 days, it's $190.
For four people?
For four people.
Still kind of expensive.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's pet friendly.
That's nice. Smoking allowed?
No smoking, no. Which is fine because there's a little area for smoking outside, and they provide, you know, a place to throw your cigarette butts so they don't go down the storm drains.
How did you come to select these four guys, or did they select you?
I met three of them in 2011 when I was, you know, just this forced house owner, homeless on the streets, and I met them, and we've just sort of palled around. They're not alcoholics, they don't drink, they're not tweakers, they don't do heroin, they're all skilled. One of them, Paul, has a wheelchair, and he has MS, and he has a urinary tract problem, which is quite embarrassing for him. When I went to pick him up at the county building where he sleeps with his wheelchair next to him in the San Lorenzo Park, and I've brought him food and blankets for quite some time now, when I got there and said, you know, Paul, it's raining. I'm going to take you to a hotel room. And he's like, why? I said, well, why not? And then he said, well, I really smell. I mean, I smell. I said, well, then we'll get you a shower and we'll wash your clothes. And I took him and another man to the used clothing store on Front Street. And for less than $15, the two of them got completely new T-shirts, shirts, pants, and jackets and socks. And I was so excited about that. And that was less than $15 to clothe two grown men.
Well, let's see. Four down. I have 1,827 to go. The ways. But yeah, I mean, you know, so if your story is accurate, hats off to you for your generosity for those four guys. Of course, you won't be able to do it the day after tomorrow or the day after that.
Actually, that's not true. I have another story for you. And also, they would like us to call the room. They would talk on the radio to you. I've been living at the Days Inn in Watsonville, and when you stay there, you get points, and those points are applied to free nights. So I can take these men for a couple more nights and put them in the Days Inn until the rain stops, and they're thrilled. And that's what I'll do with them Saturday and Sunday for free. And and that all works out well. But what I wanted to say about this point stuff and HUD and these transitional programs, which is very relevant to homelessness, I went to the Best West where I was first gonna book, and it just turned out to be too expensive. And there was a woman there who was checking out. She said to me she'd been there for 30 days, that the county paid for it, $3,000. Tonight she's going to go to the Motel 6. The county's going to pay for it. Where is she going to go tomorrow night with her three children? She doesn't know. I said, well, where's the transition in this? You need housing. There isn't a housing available. The Section 8 list is so long. I said, well, what are you going to do? She's like, I don't know. I said, they paid $3,000 for you to stay here at the Best West for a whole month? Yes. She said, it was wonderful. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm like, what are you and your three children going to do now? And she said to me, I don't know.
Well, perhaps another $3,000 could be kicked down to pay for another motel for another month. Or maybe people could start setting up low-income campgrounds that would cost, what, a tenth, a twentieth of that amount of money, and might involve an actual homeless community, self-run, self-governing, that sort of thing. It's been done in other cities, and actually it happens de facto in places like Fresno, where homeless encampments have to happen because there's no other place for people to go. There's an encampment in Salinas called Chinatown, which happens right outside Dorothy's Place, is what I've been told, where they also have a similar situation. All kinds of people stay there. It's not like it's, it's not clean and sober. It's not run by the city. It doesn't have hall monitors walking up and down, but it is a place, apparently, where people can at least not have their possessions stolen, where they can sleep at night, where they have shelter and so forth. Again, I probably should get over there and, you know, stop relaying secondhand stories, because that's what I'm doing right now. But that's what I've heard from none other than Brent Adams, the individual who's trying to put together the Sanctuary Camp program here in Santa Cruz. And he spent some time over there doing some video, which I hope will eventually come out with. Looks like we have a caller. I know you want to say something, Kitty, but let's see what we got here. Hi, you're on. No, you're not on free radio. Gee, caller, I don't know what to tell you. I think if you want to reach me, you could try leaving a message on the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line. That's also my home phone, and it is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So why don't you try giving me a call there, leave a message. I can try and pick it up. Or you can wait till there's what we call a musical break, and you can kind of call in then and hope that I will pick up the phone and chat with you privately, if that's what you'd like.
I wanted to say that for those of you who watched the city council meeting on community TV the other night, one of the gentlemen that I have taken in for the next couple days, his name is Joseph Abraham, and he spoke to the city council. He's actually a missionary. He's a wonderful person. He can't read very well because he has dyslexia. But he's as kind as can be. I took him to the laundromat, and he's in there doing his laundry. He's all happy. It's just wonderful. But if you could just pull up Joseph again and just understand that he's a very capable individual who at 6:40 this morning was awakened by the police and given a camping citation. Unfortunately, it got washed in his pocket. So I told him I would be a witness to that. You know, in the laundromat. He hasn't done his laundry. He said he couldn't even remember the last time. The clothes reeked so bad that I had to put all the windows of my car down. And I was gagging. I was literally gagging. Like, this stuff reeks. Can we just throw it away? No. We'll wash it. You know, okay, well, you're probably right. So Joseph is in my room with Paul and Dee. And another young man that doesn't want his name used. And he himself has had 11 citations in the last 7 months for camping in the park.
Paul has had 11 citations?
Not Paul. They don't seem to bother Paul that much, the guy with the MS in the wheelchair. But he sleeps right there where the county workers have to be able to see him. They have to. And he's cold and shivering and wet, and he gets around in a wheelchair. It's very difficult for him to walk. He has MS. And he's the kindest person. He really is. Not a drug addict. Doesn't smoke pot either, by the way. And doesn't drink.
Does he chew or possibly eat Mounds bars? And we got to, you know, we want to make sure we... sorry, I just... no, I mean, that's nice. I don't think you have to be a Puritan in order to feel that as a human being you deserve basic rights. So
he deserves housing for... He has a disease.
It's probably one of the basic rights we all deserve. Mm-hmm. But at least not to be harassed and menaced when you're outside. And if you put up a tent to protect yourself from the rain, for instance, as perhaps any sensible person is doing tonight who has that capability, that should not be the basis for a criminal charge, which it is, and a stay-away order, which it is, from that area, and a possible misdemeanor citation in a year in jail, which it could shortly be, depending on the preferences of the Parks and Rec Rangers and the police. And I'm glad you're hopefully getting folks to come forward with their camping tickets and their other infractions, or if you're doing that, Kate, as we're trying to, we at Huff are trying to get folks to present these at the Huff meeting on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock, 11 to 1 actually, and at the Food Not Bombs meal on Saturdays from 4 to 5, perhaps at the Red Church, I think we were there last Monday from 6 to 6:30. The idea being that once we get these tickets, we will begin making claims against the city for basic civil rights violations against homeless people. And that should begin a process of at least raising the issue on the radar. And that, who knows where that's going to go.
It concerns me that someone like Joseph Abraham, he collects Social Security, but he still doesn't have enough money to afford housing. And there's no possible way for a first lesson deposit or certainly, you know, applying for a property through, you know, the numerous property managers that we have here in Santa Cruz County wouldn't let him in the door. And that's unfortunate because I see this, this other person who I've befriended, who's not a drinker, doesn't do drugs, doesn't tweak. He said to me today, you know, with all clean new clothes on, he said, God, I just look awful. I need a haircut. I need a shave. Yeah, it's like, damn.
Well, let's get a little musical break, and we'll come back. 427-3772 is the call-in number if you want to talk to me or Katie. So call if you'd like.
The first plane hit the other tower right after I came in. It left a fiery gaping hole where offices had been. We stood and watched in horror as we saw the first ones fall. Then someone yelled, "Get out, get out, they're trying to kill us all." I grabbed the pictures from my desk and joined a flight for life. With every step I called the names of my children and my wife. And then we heard them coming up from several floors below. A crowd of firefighters with their heavy gear in tow. Now every time I try to sleep, I'm haunted by the sound of firemen pounding up the stairs while we were running down. And when we met them on the stairs, they said we were too slow. Get out, get out, they yelled at us, the whole thing's gonna go. They didn't have to tell us twice, we'd seen the world on fire. We kept on running down the stairs while they kept climbing higher. Now every time I try to sleep, I'm haunted by the sound of firemen pounding up the stairs while we were running down. the street we ran through ash and smoke. I didn't know which way to run, I thought that I would choke. A fireman took me by the arm and he pointed me uptown. And Christ, I heard him whisper as the tower came roaring down. So now I go to funerals for men I never knew. The pipers play Amazing Grace as the coffins come in view. They must have seen it coming when they turned to face the fire. They sent us down to safety, then they kept on climbing high. Now every time I try to sleep, I'm haunted by the sound of firemen pounding up the stairs while we were running down. Of firemen pounding up the stairs while we were running down.
And that was Pete Seeger singing a tune. What tune was he singing? Actually, it was Tom Paxton singing The Bravest. And it was, of course, all about firefighters in Baghdad, I believe. Although I didn't listen to the very end of the song this time. On the line, we have one guy and three more. What's your name, guy?
My name is Paul Borg.
Hey, Paul. So you're...
Hello.
Hello. So you're indoors tonight. That's nice.
Yes, we are at the Continental Inn.
Are you getting a continental dinner and hopefully a continental breakfast? And,
yes, Kate, I'm not sure where Kate is from, but she bought a pizza for us.
Oh, wow.
And she's going to stop by tomorrow, I believe. And she paid for our clothing also. We had it washed. And and then when the pizza arrives is when the phone call arrives from you, Robert.
So you've been outside a lot, I take it, Paul.
I've been outside for about 7 years.
That's a lot. Yeah, I would say so. Like, I've been
yeah.
cranky when I'm outside for 7 minutes. So, you know, 7 years, quite a while. 7 years here in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I did something that was very bad, and I never looked for a place after I was evicted. So I have decided to remain outside. From Cleveland, Ohio, it's warmer here than there. And so, yeah, I don't feel a need to find another place to live. It's just cold right now, but generally it's a great part of America to live.
So I'm told you have MS?
Yes, I do.
And you transport yourself around with that vehicle?
With the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walk around with it.
And this puts you in a position, you're disabled, or you're other-abled, if you want to use politically correct terms. How do you, you know, this? You don't usually run into people like Kate every day who put you up in motels, right?
Not at all. This is a very unique situation.
What's your standard scene when you're looking for a place to sleep? Are you generally just ignored by deputies and sheriffs and police and so forth, or are you, you know, what happens there at night when they
Well, I have been staying around San Lorenzo Park virtually all the time, but I believe that when they know you, they leave you alone after time, and basically, you know, they don't harass me at night, but. Some things tend to drift you away from things. Say if you go to Elm Street Mission to eat in the evening, you may think that you can go to Loud Nelson to rest on the grass, but the police will be there and they'll say you can't stay in the park here. And then you drift your way towards the park, and, you know, just away from the existence of everybody else, so you listen to the ocean a little more. And it's not a big deal. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm from Cleveland. I'm used to the cold, so, you know, the nights are, well, I would say cold, but, you know, you can dress warm enough to have your breath keep you warm. And basically that's what I do. I just allow my breath to keep me warm at night, and knowing that the sleep is always deprived, but it's not a big deal because there is no demand placed on my life.
You know, I wouldn't normally ask a guest. Well, I do ask, but I warn them you don't have to talk about where you sleep, because, you know, we have vigilantes in town who may be listening to the show, as well as not so friendly, presumably police officers, or those who are worried about the vigilantes coming down on their case.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Humans, people of being humans, some just have a unpredictable personality, so if they push your, the little disabled card around, and then that's their judgment, you know. There's no reason for me to get upset over it.
Has that happened to you much, Paul? Have you been either ticketed or, you know, forcibly relocated from one position you were in to another?
Well, the police will say you have to move on, or you know, can't stay in the park, that sort of thing.
How often?
And it's really not that big of a deal. You just get up and move, you know.
I got you. How often does that happen?
How often?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen too often.
Do you sleep alone, or do you sleep with companions?
Yeah, I sleep alone.
And so you're not feeling getting cabin fever with three other guys tonight? Huh?
No.
So it feels comfortable. What's your sense of how the city treats other homeless folks? Do you think you're kind of, you have a very mellow, philosophical attitude about all this?
Well, there's so many homeless in the area, and it's one of those things that the world, the way it's made, America, the way it is, that people will generally drift towards the West Coast along the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, you may seem that's unfair, but it's just a job that they have. And
well, what do you notice in terms of how other homeless people are treated in Santa Cruz?
I don't really know, to be honest with you, because a lot of times it's all dependent on their personality. The things that they do, mm-hmm. which basically are illegal at times, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be theft. It could be just, doing something people don't like listening to, because a lot of people who are outdoors talk a lot. They talk to themselves, and you wish they would just stop, but that's their personality generally.
What about people who are trying to sleep at night? Because it's illegal to sleep at night, as you know, after 11 o'clock at night outside.
Yeah, I was under a bridge last night, I believe it was, and one woman that I know that talks a lot and yells a lot showed up, and she started, you know, just talking the way that she always does, and I just yelled to her, sleep. I said that twice, and she left. So, like, where she is tonight, I don't know. Where did she go last night? I don't know. She could have stayed where she was under the bridge where I was, but she chose to leave because I scared her a bit, you know.
I think you're trying to get some sleep. But, I mean, my mm-hmm. point to you is when you wake up in the morning, you presumably have some social contact with other folks during the day, right?
Yeah, sometimes I go to the Coral Street area where a lot of the homeless go. And
you get reports of many citations. I mean, also, you've got three guys in the room with you. Are they getting tickets for sleeping outside, whereas you apparently... have you gotten a ticket for sleeping outside yourself or not?
Well, it's been a while. Uh-huh. And I went to Santa Barbara a couple months ago, and I'm working with that currently. So... you know, I don't plan on going to Santa Barbara very often in the future.
You were ticketed down in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
What about here? What about your three companions there in the room? Have they gotten citations?
I don't think they do. You know, once they have the system down pat of staying outdoors and what to avoid, they do well. And usually the police just stop. You know, so...
Katie asked me to ask you to put Joseph on the line. Are you up for that?
Who?
I as... Joseph.
Joseph, is that what you said?
Joseph got a citation, a camping citation this morning at 6:45. He was also at the city council meeting trying to talk to the city council. Can we put him on the phone?
Okay.
Sounds good. And listen, thank you, Paul, for, you know, letting us know how things are with you anyway.
Great. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, no problem.
Get through the state of Texas.
Hello?
Is this Joseph?
Yes, Joseph.
Hey, Joseph. This is Robert.
I'm here too, Robert. Joseph, it's me, Kate. You're on the radio, baby.
Everybody?
So, say hello to your fans out there.
Joseph?
So, Joseph, are you there?
Hello? I haven't spoken to him. Do you hear him?
No, I can't hear him yet.
Okay.
Can you, is he on the air yet? Hello? I mean, is he on the phone? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this? Hello?
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul, can you put Joseph on?
I don't know who Joseph is.
Ask one of the other guys.
He's the one who did your laundry.
Oh, wait, Joseph is here. I'll hand the phone to you, okay?
Sounds good.
He's going to be right here in a second. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Joseph, Robert here, and Katie as well. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Got a shower.
That can be nice if you haven't showered.
Yeah. Yeah, got another camping ticket last night.
What happened there?
It ended up in the wash.
Right, well, tell me about where you got the ticket and...
I was over on... the one right behind the transit mall, the street what's right behind it. I was down there, right across from,
Front Street, perhaps?
Yeah.
And what time did you get the ticket?
6:45 this morning.
Were you sleeping alone?
He was like, I'm giving you a camper ticket.
How many cops?
You got a 24-hour stay away.
I see. And what did he tell you to stay away from?
From this overhang.
And where was this overhang? Is it actually the transit center, or is it a business?
No. It was nowhere near the transit center, about 2.5 blocks away.
And what was the nearest business that you saw?
Hmm?
Nearest business that was nearby, was it a business?
It was closed. It didn't open up until 11 o'clock in the afternoon.
What was the name of it, you know?
It was one of the thrift shops.
Thrift shops.
Oh, a thrift shop. I gotcha.
Yeah.
And so were you alone, or were there other folks sleeping under overhang?
No, just me.
And was it raining when they gave you a ticket?
Huh?
Was it raining?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And what did the cop say to you as he gave you a ticket?
He was like, you can't sleep here.
Did he give you a place?
Really snotty-like.
Did he give you a place to go where it was legal to sleep?
No.
And has he ticketed you in the past, or have any cops ticketed you in the past?
In the last year, officer actually targeted me.
Name of the officer?
He's been targeting me for past 2 years, name 3 years.
Joseph, name of the officer?
Yeah.
What's the name of the officer?
Got it right off the top of my head. It was really early in the morning.
Okay, so how many tickets would you say you've gotten in the last few months?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 camping tickets.
And were each of those tickets accompanied by a stay-away order, too, or were they just tickets?
No, this one here was a 24-hour stay-away.
What about the other 6?
No. So this is the known as the other ones.
So this is the first time he's told you. Did you generally get these tickets in the downtown area, or did you get them somewhere else?
Mainly in the downtown area.
And do you generally sleep alone?
Yeah, most of the time.
Why?
I don't like sleeping around a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah, because I really don't like hanging around too many other people and this and that.
Now, Katie tells me you were at city council last night.
Not last night, the night before.
Right, you are. Yeah. What did you think of all of that? You, of course, that was for the new laws are going to make it you not just stay away for a day, but stay away for a week, a month, 6 months, a year, all that.
Yeah. I kind of despise that. New ruling. I do.
What's wrong with it?
This is the thing. What's wrong with it? Let me sit down.
Have a seat.
Turn the TV down.
Yeah, it's like what I think about it, it's really messed up for us homeless people to be jumping through all these hoops and all, and it's like it's all a game to them. It's all a game to the Santa Cruz Police Department. This is what I think.
I got you.
And Santa Cruz County was actually the area of Santa Cruz had nothing but shanty towns. 85% of it was shanty towns. People just trying to get structures up and trying to get out of the rain and this and that and it's like I'm just homeless.
Katie has a question for you, Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph, you told me that you collect some kind of Social Security monthly. Where do your checks come to, and how do you budget that money, if you would please? Where do your Social Security checks come to? Where you pick them up?
Through Direct Express.
Okay. And how do you budget, if you don't mind me asking that?
I usually budget my whole check for the whole month, and I usually run out of money right about four to five. And I want to get a couple structures around here for people what are challenged and all. And
so, Joseph, let me ask you, how long have you been here?
Off and on, I've been coming into Santa Cruz for 26 years.
Have you lived in the Santa Cruz area? Have you generally lived out of?
I stayed here in Santa Cruz for about 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
When was that?
Right after the earthquake.
I got you. Well, I probably saw you back then. We were doing a lot of homeless protests in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever come to the homeless table? Do you ever hang out there?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, do you remember Storm and Norman?
Yeah, I remember him very well.
Yeah, they used to go after him big time. And then you remember Jabberwocky Jay?
Hmm?
There's another guy called Jay, another guy called Pete Pascal. There were a bunch of folks who were, they kept the table going 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I remember that.
At the post office, actually, right near the post office.
Yeah.
And the police kept stealing the table, stealing their stuff. They kept giving out literature, demanding an end to the sleeping ban, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Do any of the two other guys with you want to say anything for Free Radio, or is there anything more you
can they're kind of outside.
Well, that's okay. Anything you want to add? Anything you want to say to people out there that, you know, you might not have said yet?
I hope the people in the Santa Cruz area would actually lean off of the homeless people, because a lot of us are trying to get into a place. We're trying to do the right things, but it's like a... It's like a... It's a double standard to, from the police and on, I would really love it, to see this, be overturned.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you. Katie, anything else you want to ask or say?
No. Are there any, I'm really pleased to have met you, Joseph. I do think that you're a very nice person and you're safe. I feel safe around you. You're not a tweaker. You don't do heroin. You're not an alcoholic. And I really enjoyed doing laundry with you.
Yeah.
This could be a beautiful relationship coming up here.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, it's like I want to really help out with...
Well, you have already by coming on the air. I appreciate it. I'm going to roll, though. If you want to reach me, if any of the guys want to reach me, I don't know if Katie gave you my card, probably not.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Then you got my card. Give me a call if anything happens, if you want to report anything from
the
street.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get
I would like to be in this whole committee and try to work on trying to get, like...
Well, come to the Huff meeting. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Meet every Wednesday at 11 at the Sub Rosa Cafe. It's on that little card that she...
Okay.
I'm going to roll. I'll talk to you again. Maybe.
Okay.
If not, stay dry and enjoy the night, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's folks at the enjoying their dry night, maybe a couple more dry nights at the Continental Inn. Compliments of you, Katie, apparently.
And we should also say that the Continental Inn, they do not have carpets. It's animal-friendly. And I saw several bicyclists, not with cars, but people coming into town on bikes, took their bikes into the room, and they don't have to worry about the carpets. I just want to give a good plug for the Continental Inn.
Uh-oh. Nope. We don't have any commercial plugs here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. So, but I'll give you a plug. Thanks for helping out there. You can also call in if you've had some thoughts, experiences, comments, whatever. 427-3772 is the number to call. And my phone's working, so if you call, I'll hear you.
Part from the marimba, the spokesperson who spoke at Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday before Halloween and was... told she could not play, the marimba group could not have their traditional plays at Halloween, which they had had in the past. I think it's probably in front of O'Neill's, though I'm not sure. And she apparently, through riding through a variety of people, went to the police chief, and then went to Zach Friend, the board of supervisors, Tom Noddy, other people. How's it going, man? And eventually was able to.
And we're not looking at how short this
is. Was able to get. I guess there were three or four other people she had to go through. They said, and Lieutenant Barry, who has some very strict conditions, and he, who she had originally talked to at City Council, laid down some more strict conditions. They had pulled her permit earlier. And so they simply went ahead and ignored the permit, and that was that. And that's all, folks, for the evening.
That's a little fragmented, my account there. What it is it's the report I got from the marimba player who spoke at City Council concerned that the police had suddenly told her, I think 3 days before Halloween, that the traditional marimba performance that they do, I think, I don't know how many of them, six or seven of them, often in front of O'Neill's every month, I believe at least, once a month, were not going to be allowed to do that because of the decision of Lieutenant Berry or some other bureaucratic boss in the police department who just suddenly came up with the idea at the very last minute, this is not something that they want. Oh, the crowd is too big, or I'm not sure. I don't know that they even got a coherent explanation. Simply, you know, we got the power, get lost. And this marimba person was not interested in, you know, taking no for an answer. And she was able, after spending a lot of energy and time going to a lot of people, able to restore the permit to being able to play in front of O'Neill's, which is where they, I believe that's where they traditionally play in Halloween. I wasn't downtown on Halloween myself. And you might say, well, what's the big deal there? You know, she got her permit, you know, so what? Well, this also happened to the mime troupe. The mime troupe had its permit pulled at the last minute, days before their performance here. And they're a traditional event, a much larger event, that plays in San Lorenzo Park. And what just shows me is a trend. It's a bad trend that's happening, that where people who don't want traditional events that they consider to be chaotic, or I don't even know what their standard is, but I know that the mime troupe is a lefty kind of mime. It's a lefty theater group, not left enough for me. And when they come to town, they're off a little too respectful of the local authorities to suit that I like. And I've talked about that on the air. In fact, I issued a flyer at one point called Mime Troop or Mum Troop when they tried to shut us down as we were doing protesting against abusive behavior by the city around the sleeping ban. And they tried to stop us from flyering and wouldn't make comments about the issues themselves, even though they're, you know, supposedly this great leftist group. This was some time ago. So, nonetheless, they are a group that, you know, is a traditional favorite. The fact that they are themselves being harassed, like the great Morgani was driven away with his accordion, it shows this deepening attitude of repression, this kind of determination to transform the face of Santa Cruz from a sort of a diverse, vibrant cultural area that has room for all kinds of different folks, although there's always been a problem. There's always been a class war here, for sure. I'm not saying there hasn't been, but this is more of a really strong response to go after people that police department is suspicious of, doesn't like, thinks they're a little pushing the boundaries, or just has always have nurtured some kinds of concerns about them, that suddenly, 3 days before their performance, are able to crack down. This is, you know, a part of the performance pin mentality that they brought up and passed on Tuesday, and it will go into effect in a month. With the full support of Micah Posner, I'm afraid, as well as Don Lane and the entire city council. This is, I've talked about it a lot before, and I'll be talking about it again, probably in the course of just playing some of that discussion, that, interestingly enough, the city got its audio together. I audioed some of it myself, huddling next to my tape recorder. Actually, I think I pulled in a white chair and sat down in the chair. They don't let you tape record now in the Santa Cruz City Council chambers, or audio record for that matter, unless you, quote, attend your tape recorder or audio recorder. And so I had to sit next to it, and I placed it next to the speaker's podium. So I sat up there, and it's cumbersome, and it restricts you, and you have to negotiate with I'd negotiate with Sergeant Bush so I could go read the agenda briefly. You're not allowed to go to the bathroom unless somebody else comes up and sits with the tape recorder. It's completely ridiculous. And actually, there's a cartoon in the paper that kind of inferentially refers to it. If you looked at the Monday or the Tuesday Sentinel as a DeCinzo cartoon, which mentions me by name. It has Robert Norris captioning, you know, the person in the picture, the cartoon. And what it is, it's an attempt to show John Barisoni, the city attorney, cutting loose because he's retiring. And one of the things he does is he splashes a pie in my face. And you see me with my tape recorder there. getting a pie and saying, yum, yum, free food, or some such thing, which that's kind of the level of the DeCenzo cartoons. I mean, he has never been a big fan of mine, and nor I of him, except that I find a lot of his cartoons, I got to take that back, a lot of his cartoons are right on target, and he isn't afraid to express his views, I think, although because he's now being paid by the Sentinel, that may be impacting what he does. He was for a long time an occasional cartoonist for the Metro Santa Cruz and for the Metro San Jose and for other Metro papers throughout the area. So let's continue listening to street stuff and maybe phone calls from you, 427-3772. I may also be playing a little something more from Chris Hedges, who will be speaking on Sunday, I think it's at 5:30 up at the, what is it? You know where that is? I'll look it up and I'll give you the exact information about Hedges' event. I think it costs, but there's also the sort of the whisper that if you haven't got the money, they'll let you in free.
$15, $5 for students, and all the money is being donated to not-for-profits.
Yeah, the question is, which not-for-profits, of course?
Oh, we can always ask Chris.
Yeah. After the fact, probably, but nonetheless. All right, well, let's hear a little more.
Well, it is November 9th, 2014. It is about 3:05. I'm in front of The Gap down on Pacific Avenue talking with
Nathaniel.
And you're a man who plays a Namin steel guitar here, if I have that right, even when you're being drowned out by the sound of the chugga-chugs that go by. But on the wharf, apparently, you encountered a combination of a security guard and a police officer?
Yeah, yesterday. I was playing on the wharf. They told me about the hour ordinance. I very politely asked him if he could show me it on paper, just so I know that it's right, because I've looked for it myself, and I can't find it. And he was very rude. He started cussing at me. And he told me that... Eventually, he told me he was going to go get it. He never did. And then I went to the restroom. I came out, and he had a cop there. And the cop was very aggressive and very angry, and he...
You said something about chest bumping?
Yeah, he chest bumped me a couple times. Like, I walked out of the bathroom, said, "Hi, sir, what's the issue?" And he got right in my private space and actually touched into me twice, bumping into my shoulder with the middle of his chest, trying to be intimidating, and... You know, I just told him all I want to do is see the law, and then he mentioned that I can't cuss on the avenue, that's why, or on the wharf, that's why he was there, and as far as I know, you're allowed to cuss. But the issue really is the hour thing. It needs to be straightened out over there, because I don't think that there is an ordinance for the war.
Say that he did say to you,
I've been doing this forever. Like, I keep up on the rules and regulations, and I cannot find one for there. So
now, you said that he then followed up his, "I'm here because you cussed." I think you told me, you said, "Is it illegal to cuss?"
Yeah. I asked him if it was illegal to cuss. He said, "No, it's not." And I said, "Why are you here then?" And he said, "Because this is my town and this is my wharf, and if you don't get off it right now, you're going to go to jail tonight."
Interesting. Probably a bluff, because no matter where you're doing anything illegal.
It's totally legal in everything that I do. This is my legitimate way that I earn my living.
I mean, I'm going to check that ordinance, the move-along law, it's called, on Pacific Avenue. It may apply on the wharf, but there seems to be nothing wrong with your asking to see a copy of it.
If it does apply, that's fine. I just want to know, you know.
And neither of them would tell you.
Yeah, neither would tell me. I asked the cop, too. He said he'll be right back with it, and he got in his car and left.
Yeah, just for you.
Hey, we're talking with...
Okay.
And what I want to say about this... He was mistaken about the move-along law. It's a horrible law. It's unconstitutional. It should be ignored and denied. But it's there on the books. It hasn't been changed by the performance dots, pens, cages. It's still where it's at. And however, it is clearly what the cop was, if this guy's account was correct, he was simply using naked force and threats to move him along. And what I want to comment on this is, I mean, it's obviously wrong. It's obviously thuggish, bullying, abusive, and a lack of accountability here is frightening, really. But if the guy's account is correct, of course. But what I also want to say is that when you have police being essentially set against people who are trying to be law-abiding, even when the laws are ridiculous, then what happens when they encounter difficulties and the disrespect that comes with their, you know, trying to enforce these abusive and ridiculous laws that are really designed to discourage people from even being there at all, unless they are, you know, very well prepared and, you know, it's honestly stated by individuals who support these laws, not the ones who are passing them often, but that this is really an attempt to make the city a less welcoming place. And we're not just talking about for homeless people, but for street culture generally. But in any case, what the police then have to do is they have to face people, A, who have less respect for law generally, because how can you respect a society that creates these kind of laws? And they're put into this situation where there is a conflict situation created where they have to preserve their authority, they feel, because they're trained that a lot of their credibility, a lot of their organizational functionality depends upon their being respected by and obeyed by the citizenry, possibly in circumstances that are more dire. Like if you're in a situation where someone is shooting or in a situation where there's active threats of a real kind. And if that's the case, what happens here is police have to reassert that authority in these other ridiculous situations. And so they tend to overreact. And so when their authority is not respected here, maybe they're thinking, boy, if this guy doesn't respect me here, then, I mean, I have to assert it here because in other circumstances where it's really important that my authority be asserted, it won't be respected either. I know that sounds irrational. It's just a theory I kind of came to me, you know, as I was reviewing this tape. But I think it's something to think about.
That we think about is a number of these performers, especially there are three of them that I enjoy on the wharf, and I have enjoyed them for years and years. These people are being harassed, and this is their livelihood. It's something they love. People toss them coins, and this is what they do. And some of them on their days off. So they may have a job at a restaurant or may have a job at a CVS or something. And then on their days off, they go out and they play music because that's what they do. And they're being chased. And it's really a pathetic situation. I don't see them breaking laws. They're not smoking. They're not distasteful. They're part of our community. They've been here for the 50 years I've lived here, and you know, the faces may change, but it's really pathetic what's going on, and I really question the police enforcement in this 1 hour move on the wharf.
I'm Garth Thorne from Humboldt.
Go ahead, Garth.
Well, in these modern days, business and the working class people are not always on the same page.
Oh. And what did you see today that interested you?
Well, I understand how these things work, and what really interests me is the way that people react to this sort of tyranny.
Or don't react. But what did you see? You mentioned Michael O'Grady.
Michael O'Grady has a free show on freakradio.com.
He does.
Yeah, on Mondays and Tuesday evenings from 6 to 9 and 8 to 9.
In fact, here he comes now.
Here comes Michael now. Michael, get on the radio here.
He's on the radio anyway.
Get on this recording for the radio. Michael O'Grady has just arrived. Anyhow, we're heading out, but did you have a reason? A guitar? That's your guitar?
And again, we've been talking with Garth. Thank you, Garth.
Thank you. What was your name?
Robert, good. Well, it is November 17, 2014. We're here at the Metro, about 4:10, and it's
We're standing in front of the famous Metro Center sign, where I actually was cited for trespass because I was actually defending the rights of some guys that a security guard was harassing. But I'm actually right now going to go out of the past and into the present, because here we have an interview coming up with...
Morgan.
Who is doing a paper for...
Just a class at school.
What kind of a class?
It's a politics class.
We're talking about UCSC?
Yes, sir.
And how long is this paper going to be?
Short, like 5 pages.
Okay, well, why don't you proceed, and I'll see if I can help you out with that paper.
All right, cool. So, I know that you're not a very strong supporter of Santa Cruz City government. I know that you have a lot of grievances. Could you tell me just, like, a short summary of a few of those, just your highlights?
Well, you know, my area of interest is civil rights for the general public and for poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I say? It's diminishing here in Santa Cruz, because the right to be in public spaces, even on the sidewalks downtown, is becoming increasingly restricted. So, for instance, not only do you have private businesses taking over vast amounts of the space with their pay outdoor cafe areas, which is, you know, it's nice for those who have money.
Yeah.
But it's also illegal to sit down almost anywhere on Pacific Avenue, unless you're 14 feet away from a building, an intersection, a trash can, a kiosk, a phone. And this was set up specifically to give the police massive powers to move people along and to punish people that they don't want downtown.
And, of course, you can sit on a bench for up to an hour, and you can bring your own chair and sit wherever you want. There's actually no limit to the amount of time you, according as I understand the law, if you bring your own seated device, provided you don't have some other display device with you, some other table or cap or something capable of holding tangible things, as they say is the magic words to describe the display device ordinance.
To make it an unwelcoming place. So my main objections to city government, my focus is on the area of discrimination against poor people.
Okay.
The right of all of us to access public spaces, but specifically poor people, and of course homeless people who are arrested for, cited for, even jailed for sleeping at night after 11 o'clock at night, even though the city has no legal places for people to sleep for 95% of the community.
Yeah.
Homeless community.
Okay, so I guess what I'm really interested to hear is something you think a strength of Santa Cruz is.
You mean Santa Cruz or the Santa Cruz City government?
I love one of both, maybe three of both. No, just one of both would be really interesting.
Well, you know, it's a hard question to answer, because at this time in our history, as the United States prepares to ramp up a war, it looks like 97% of the... I don't know. I heard a nasty stat about massive support for foreign wars. They've already shown to be disastrous and, you know, unavailing, which allows, of course, for the militarization of police forces in the country, such as the Santa Cruz Police Force, and then racial and class discrimination locally. You want some positive stuff, something that people can feel good about.
Or not just good, but maybe something where you realize that Santa Cruz really sucks at helping the poor class, but is there anywhere that they're succeeding? Maybe in education for that class, maybe they're putting out an effort or their new programs, anything
well,
like that.
Individual people and some groups of people are essentially ignoring or resisting the trend, which is to essentially... succumb to commercialization and gentrification and essentially turn the town into a playground for wealthier people.
Mm-hmm.
And those who resist it are the hope of the community, I think. A lot of people are afraid to resist it or too busy to resist it or have had to move out or move on, because even though their families lived there, their parents lived here, they can't do it anymore because it's too expensive. It's hard to find a place, as you probably know, to rent or live in unless you have parents who are supporting you, or you want to go six in a room or six in a small apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the positive side, you want something positive. It's a beautiful climate. The city is, there are a lot of good people here. There are people who whom I like, whom I enjoy being with, who I look forward to seeing again, and am happy to see when I find they haven't been driven away from the downtown area or elsewhere.
And there I am, struggling to find something positive to say about Santa Cruz. The best thing about Santa Cruz are the people here, I think. The worst thing about it is the way poor people are treated, the way the police department, the parks and rec department, the city government operates, and just the way that the society discriminates against certain classes of people, making them less than human, which you see most obviously and most blatantly at the very very end of the lower end of the lower class, where the very act of sleeping itself is a crime. So, Kate, you look like you're eager to say something there. What do you got? What do you got there?
Do I have steam coming out of the top of my head?
Mm-hmm.
What I think is going on here, it's very unfortunate, is that all poverty and the homeless people are clumped together. It's like they're being stereotyped. It's as if Santa Cruz is becoming the very extreme wealthy who own the homes and the servants, and then those that they don't want to serve, those that they don't want to help with transitional housing because it's, you know, it's a burden, it's a financial expense. That person failed, and it's not our fault. And if you just talk to these people and their potentials and what they have, many of them actually have degrees.
Woo! Let's see here. I suppose what I should do is run through a couple of some quick updates around the city council and, well, the city government activities of the last couple of days, since that happened just recently. On Monday, Transportation and Public Works Committee had three matters on its agenda. I wrote about this online in case you want to save yourself the hearing it to me blow by blow, sentence by sentence, and word by word. So you can go to Santa Cruz Indie Media, and if you look at the section on the right-hand side of the website saying local news, you'll find a couple of stories. Specifically, restore sidewalk space for all, end the 1 hour of free speech and get going rule, which is about the passage of the performance pens. RVs need safe spaces, not more restrictions, written by Steve Plage. That refers to what the Transportation Commission did on Monday. I also wrote an article about that called Three More Strikes Against the Homeless at the Public Works Commission, and another in reference to the Monday's hearing. And then on Tuesday, a second article, well, two articles, Three More Strikes Against the Homeless at the Public, sorry, Get Out Anti-Homeless Law, with a phony appeal process at afternoon council. That's, again, what happened on Tuesday. And a simple question of right and wrong, Steve Plage wrote about, also with reference to the stay-away order stuff coming that came up and was rammed through on Tuesday. So I'm still kind of recovering from all that in the sense that I made a lot of notes as I crouched at the front of the room listening to speaker after speaker and even what the city council and the staffers had to say as they pushed forward unconstitutional and abusive and deceptively packaged legislation. It happened both at the Transportation and Public Works Commission level and at the city council level. At the first level on Monday, what happened was the Circles Church, under attack from neighborhood bigots who don't like the homeless programs at the Circle Church and want to hold the presence of homeless vehicles responsible for theft, poo-poo, pee-pee, disposal of waste, but have no particular series of citations that show convictions of any of these crimes or even arrests for any of these crimes, simply came up with this anecdotal litany of laments that they have been doing, angry laments, at city council and in the media and elsewhere. Particularly, you can find it on Discus if you want to look at the comments section after Santa Cruz Sentinel stories. The police department had, with plenty of anecdotes too, they had their, oh, we need more tools. It'll be a great tool to be able to deal with people. What tools were they looking for? Well, for the Circles Church, they wanted to make it require permit parking around the entire Arrett Circles Church, which means you couldn't park there without a permit unless you, I think you could do it during the day for 2 hours, but there was a warming program at night from 4 to 9:30 in the morning, now discontinued to some extent because of the pressure of the neighborhood bigots in that area, and partially because of the fact that so many people have been driven out of the Poganip and out of the Levee area and out of the downtown area that churches like Garfield Park Church, which is the Circles Church I'm talking about, are getting overwhelmed. At least that's according to a pastor, Steve, who has been running these programs and is apparently now leaving town in January. So they passed this permit program, which essentially is a way of saying unless you live on the block and unless you buy a permit, you can't park your vehicle at all at night, and you can't park your vehicle during the day, and I think it's for more than 2 hours. And that is part of their famous permit parking program, initiated by such lights as council member and former mayor Cynthia Matthews, who's got a lot of horrid legislation to her credit. The second thing that the Transportation Commission passed was a proposal to essentially make it illegal for oversized vehicles to park on public property. In any places where there were parking spaces that were marked. Right now, as I understand it, they can park, and if they take up more than one space, they have to still obey the laws. If they're in parking meters, they have to pay both parking meters, but they can do that. Now, they will not be able to do that if this is a law that will go to City Council. The Circles Church permit parking is now going to be in effect, I think, unless it's appealed, although I'm not quite clear about the appeals process. And quite candidly, regarding the Circles Church situation, since the Sunrise Hangout Cafe has been closed down, and since a number of the other programs at Circles Church have been closed down, apparently it wasn't even a pressing issue for the Circles Church because nobody from the Circles Church showed up. Nobody from the faith community except for Jim Weller showed up. Jim was an activist who's has a variety of connections with the faith community. Steve Plaich didn't show up. He did write a critique of it, though, and send it in. There was massive bigot and neighborhood participation. In fact, the neighbors, many of them didn't want permit parking in the Circles Church area because they felt it would drive people to be parking in front of their homes where there isn't permit parking. But their solution was to expand permit parking. So the danger is now going to be that the entire area will become hostile to any kind of unpermitted vehicle at night. These are supposed to be public streets, I remind you. Again, this is part of this gentrification, creeping privatization process of the streets, which is designed to drive away the poorer section of the community from the neighborhoods, the downtown, the boardwalk, the university area, you name it. The pretext they're using is crime, but they don't show you any increase in crime. They just whip out the terror tales, and they bring my children are afraid to walk in the neighborhood stories. And I'm not saying that they're lying about it. It's quite easy to scare your children with tales of this and that. And it's also, particularly if you start identifying rather shabbily dressed people in rather run-down vehicles as being a source of danger. It's the other out there. And there certainly is some crime, I would imagine. But there was no evidence of an upsurge of crime. There was no evidence of a particular kind of crime being created. There was no evidence how this would reduce crime. There's no evidence that there was any kind of alternate program for any of these vehicles and the people that live in them. And there are scores of people who live in their vehicles in Santa Cruz, perhaps hundreds. I have no tally on that, though. At the Huff meeting, we are looking at establishing a network of relationships between people in vehicles so that people can contact each other, report harassment, which apparently is becoming quite frequent for some people in vehicles. It's actually been happening for years. People like Lieutenant Habe, former police officer Joe Habe, would run around banging on vehicles at 3 in the morning, telling them to leave, scaring people inside, threatening them. This kind of attitude, where you feel somehow that you are entitled to destroy other people's rights, safety, security, well-being, because you have a house, and then you can, and you also, or you have a fear as well as a house, is becoming more widespread than before. Anyway, at this Monday meeting, Circles Church, permit parking is, I think, now in effect. Oh, if it isn't in effect now, it will be as soon as I get their signs up, if it isn't appealed, and I'm not sure that that's going to be appealed, as I said, because the programs that might have been a reason for defending it, although I think it still should be defended, this area should be defended against these signs that say no vehicles from 1 to 6 p.m. and no vehicles for more than 2 hours any other time, unless you have a permit, and unless you live there, that's when you get a permit, if you pay for it. The second and third things that happened were ordinances, as I mentioned. The second ordinance eliminates oversized parking and also directs the city to that they can restripe areas that might now currently allow large vehicles if they're on public property. The third item that was passed, that's an ordinance that will have to go to city council and may actually show up there. I don't know. I'll have to check the agenda, and we'll try to do so in the next few minutes, but I think we'll probably bring it up on Sunday when I come back and talk about these issues at 9:30 when I do another show, 9:30 to 1, yeah, on Sunday mornings. You're eager to say something, but I want to get through this, Kate, so that's what I want to do.
Okay. I just don't want to forget.
Yeah, make a note. There you go. The second law that was passed for forwarding to the city council was an even more severe law. It said there shall be no RV parking in Santa Cruz without permits generally. And that only parking shall happen on the block where the person lives. So what this means is it criminalizes all RV parking on public streets in the city of Santa Cruz. Even Scott Collins, who I have less and less respect for, he's a staff member who comes up with and presents all this crap, and he's doing so because he was mandated to do so by the Task Force on Public Hysteria, also known as the Task Force for Public Safety, that was created last year by the homelessophobes, who essentially want to justify a massive campaign against homeless people and their, quote, nuisance crime, where they're sleeping and being able to live and survive is a nuisance to the gentry in these districts, to some of the gentry, not to everybody. And they keep beating the crime drum because of the endless drug war, of course, which goes on and creates, you know, massive problems for everybody because drugs are treated as a crime rather than a medical problem. And also it brings in big bucks for the police departments. It brings in big bucks for all law enforcement authority. And it's a national scandal and disgrace and, of course, fills up jails and prisons. And it's also a nice tool for beating around election time and scaring people with. And that's what the needle maniacs are doing with this stuff. And Take Back Santa Cruzites, who also populated the commission, the Transportation and Public Works Commission. There were, I believe, 3 Take Back Santa Cruz or Take Back Santa Cruz sympathetic activists on that commission. I'm thinking of a woman named Brock, a guy, I guess Mike Becker, who was supposedly supposed to be on the commission, was not there, and his name had been removed when I looked at the agenda. And then there was Rochelle Naroyan, the council member-elect, who is the chair of this commission and has been speaking favorably of the programs being pushed, really nasty stuff by the Take Back Santa Cruz crowd, which, again, likes to link homeless people with crime and then use that as an excuse for running them out of town. hyping up the fear about them. Some have told me, I have yet to research the issue, the claim that these homeless folks, that the Take Back Santa Cruz group has been heavily infiltrated with, or at least backed by, real estate interests that are really using the group in order to, pump up property values by eliminating the unsightly homeless in their areas and the unsightly RVs and all these public safety hazards. It's going to make it a safe community for you, you see. That's the theory. So that was the situation with transportation and the Public Works Commission. These two laws, who knows when they're going to hit the council, probably not until the new council, but they might show up next Tuesday. There is another council meeting. They're coming up thick and fast, these council meetings, like swarms of flies coming at you, one bunch after another. That'll be, I'll be able to tell you what's happening, as I said before, on Sunday. So, did you have something you wanted to say about any of that particular... Did you make it to the Transportation Commission? I think you might have been there, right?
I was there. I was at the Public Works Transportation Commission. But more interesting than that for me was I was invited to go to the Police Department Community Room to attend a HUD breakdown of their plans.
Which I want to hear about, but let me take that in sequence, because that actually happened last night, Wednesday. And a couple of other people were there, too. And also the matter that they were discussing was mentioned in great detail at the Tuesday City Council meeting, which is they were determining how you're going to apportion funding supposedly for housing and to some extent, some small extent, for homeless services of a certain kind, I think armory stuff. And I guess we can get into that directly. At least the next issue was what happened Tuesday at City Council. Tip of the hat, by the way, to Pat Colby. Punchback Pat, if you will, or Pushback Pat, or whatever, who persistently has not only come to these meetings to speak out, but also has brought with her food and drink, particularly caloric brownies, which are fattening us all up. I don't know whether to thank Pat or to cast suspicion on her for possibly creating a health hazard. I don't know. But in any case, very tasty, and thank you, Pat. And also Joe Schultz provided some soup for the Tuesday council meeting. Pat did a double duty. She did both Monday and Tuesday. And at the Tuesday council meeting, there were three issues, more than that, actually, on the agenda, which I've talked about at some length. So I'll just mention briefly. One was the protest pens, which were passed unanimously, except for, it was unanimous. And that means that in 30 days, they're going to put either new dots on the sidewalk or the existing dots, which will be places, the only places you will be allowed to perform, the only places you'll be allowed to set up a table, the only places you'll be allowed to sit down with a cap on the sidewalk. In fact, it's even questionable whether you'll be allowed to do that, because they have added a law that you have to be 12 inches above the sidewalk with any display device. So that's a foot above the sidewalk. I suppose in theory you can have a box which you can put your little cap on if you are a spare changer. The claim that that's less of a trip and fall hazard than just having a little cap on the sidewalk which is next to you is, of course, ridiculous. I cannot fathom why they're doing these. I mean, there's no rational perspective here or real public input to any of these proposals. They simply get put forward and passed. Opposed by most of the public, but passed anyway. Although there was a sizable, noisy minority of Take Back Santa Cruz activists or sympathizers who, went through their usual mantra about crime and drugs and needles and problems and so forth. This was more about the stay-away ordinances from the parks. This is a law that is now going up for a second reading. What it says is, at the whim of a Parks and Rec ranger or cop, if he or she gives you any infraction of any kind, and most infractions we found in the last year have been A, to homeless people, and B, for smoking, sleeping, and being in an area after dark, that's a non-crime activity, then they can give you a stay-away order. And the stay-away order right up to now has only been for a day. But now it can be for a day, a week, a month, or a year, or 6 months, depending on whether it's your first, second, third, fourth, or fifth stay-away order, but they count all the previous stay-away orders you got in other places in Santa Cruz. So if you got, if there are a bunch of over 500 stay-away orders, or around 500 have been issued in the last year, more actually, but those are the ones we counted the Parks and Rec gave. So the same person who got two or three stay-away orders in the last year will now suddenly face a six-month stay-away order if a cop gives her a citation for smoking or sleeping in the park. And, of course, I simply brought up the issue, if you really want to go after antisocial behavior, and that's what the Parks and Rec directress, Dinette Shoemaker, the czarina of the parks, was saying, we need a tool to deal with these criminals in the park. It's illegal behavior that's going on in the parks. People are getting scared away. They aren't booking their, you know, park space anymore. And the children are afraid to use the bathroom because there was a guy shooting up there 3 months ago. You know, this sort of thing. And then they had a ranger. It's disgusting, the kind of thing that's going on. I have to clean up all this mess. Of course, they closed the restrooms at dusk, so I guess people just have to either carry their colostomy bags with them, or wait until the next morning, or, you know, go poo-poo. I guess that's what they do, you know. But it becomes a great excuse for calling people dirty and filthy and animal-like and get rid of them and they're dangerous. And all these, suddenly these stereotypes can be drawn more vividly and more sharply. So I said, if you really want to get rid of any social behavior in the parks, then limit these stay-away orders to antisocial specific ordinances like assault, threatening, harassing, I don't know, destruction of property, theft, whatever. But there's so few citations given out for that, that that would defeat the real purpose of this law. And now I'm going to have to let Katie speak because she's been so patient. You got me. She's made a lot of notes, so take your time, Katie. Give your thoughts.
Oh, thank you so much. Because this meeting that I attended, and excuse me, I don't remember these people's names. They just don't stick with me.
This is at the community room of the police department, if I understand
yes.
it. Yes. This was last
the
night.
Director
between 7
of
and 9.
HUD.
The Human Housing and Urban Development, for a federal program,
right.
which gives money to Santa Cruz. And they were actually at City Council, too, on Tuesday, inviting people to come the next day. But you went, and so did some other HUF people. So.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's vital that the community understand that, one, this woman said that there are groups, let me try to get this correctly, she said there are criminal groups whose job is to target Santa Cruz County, and they come in and they rip off people and steal cars and break into homes, and this is their job. Contradictory to that is this criminalizing these people who are not thieves, who would not break into your home, who would not break the windshield of your car to grab a cell phone or a purse that was accidentally left in a locked car. Who these people are, and this is a fact, these are Section 8 housing meth labs. These people sell meth. Their doors are open all night long. People complain about this constantly.
I'm going to interrupt you. You have any actual evidence of specific stats around meth labs or particular experience with them? Because I don't want to hear rumors and shit.
Right. These are not rumors. There are a number of people who have presented to the police department names and addresses and pictures and license plates numbers of Section 8 homes where there's all night long traffic.
Okay, so you saw this roster, did you?
Did
you hear somebody refer to it in a speech?
I've heard several people refer to it in a speech, but I've seen it on Ocean Street, and I've seen it
what
in hotels on Ocean
seen?
Street.
What have you seen?
I have seen people in and out, in and out, in and out. I have seen people doing drugs in their car with children in the back. Who are these people? Where
all right,
do
all
they
right,
live?
All right, no. You know, then we ask, how many times did this happen? When did you see it? And I want to, in other words, instead of, this is scare story stuff.
Right.
I'm not interested in promulgating these kinds of fears. I don't mind. Right. Frankly, I think the whole thing is bullshit anyway, because I think there is a market for drugs and will continue to be a market for drugs as long as they remain illegal or until people start getting their heads chopped off. for selling drugs. They do that in Saudi Arabia, and they do that in the ISIS territory. So we could pick up on those fine things and do it there if we want. But, you know,
I can say specifically on Blaine Street, when I was homeless, living on the streets, blah, 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 I saw a apartment.
But can we get to
And I told the police about it.
You know, I'm interested in what happened on Wednesday at this meeting. I really am.
Okay, so we'll drop the Section 8 questionable operating stuff. But you have to understand, the people who rent out these Section 8s, they get checks every month, and nobody, there's no oversight. Anyway, they also said something at this meeting that $60,000 has been set aside or has been earmarked for security deposits. You know, for transitional housing or for people who are needy and they can't get into a home because they can't afford the security deposit. And I question that. I don't know who's getting the security deposits. Are they coming back to our fund, to the HUD fund? Or do we lose it because the tenant trashed the place or couldn't pay their rent and were evicted? Because of that, because of personal circumstances, they lost a job.
So, I mean, these are all, I think, useful speculations. And the problem we have here is that I'd like to, I guess, you know, I mean, I could have gone to this meeting and sat around with these folks. What they were doing is I think they were trying to justify their CDBG and HUD funding to a bunch of conservative neighborhood groups. And I don't know. I've probably got to hear more about this. Maybe on Sunday we'll get more information. It sounds like your concerns were Section 8, rental of meth labs or something like
Section
that.
Section 8 is this program where...
No, don't go into it. Just summarize.
There's no oversight. There's no...
Of what?
There are no inspectors.
About what?
About who's living in these, what are they doing if a neighbor calls
Excuse
the police?
Excuse me, what's the claim? What's the concern? The claim? Is the concern that drug lords have taken over Section 8 and are using them for their own nefarious purposes? Is that what the claim is?
No, the claim is that people get a secured rent payment. The government, they receive a payment.
And
there's no oversight.
What do you mean there's no oversight? Well, what? I mean, who cares if there's oversight?
So these landlords are slumlords often.
Okay.
I live next to a few of them. I could take you there.
So it's slumlords who are abusing Section 8 people? Is that what?
I believe so.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to what the core of this is. And I don't know why it was brought up. It was brought up in order to rein in slumlords. Great. It was brought up in order to kick out Section 8 people. Not so great.
Well, there's no tenant. There's no protections in this community. There are no guidelines.
But what did you learn at this Wednesday meeting is my question.
At this Wednesday meeting, we were told about the criminal activity. Crime has gone down, quote unquote, 100%.
Who said this?
The new city attorney, Jim something, and one of his colleagues, they spoke about working together for the last 30 years.
Oh, you're talking about the district attorney, yeah. The new Jim Rozelle is the new district attorney.
Right, thank you. The new district attorney. And they talked about their camaraderie and how hard they've been trying to fight crime, how the jails are full, but crime is down, yet they passed out 1,500 citations in 2014.
I'm going to interrupt you again because I'm not interested in the... This is. I mean, it may quite well be true... I mean, you know, the DA's office is unlikely to say, you don't need us anymore. We've done a great job dealing with crime. It's down. We're retiring 15% of our staff. And we thank you. The money will be returned to the community. It ain't going to happen. These bureaucracies go after expanding what they do. Doesn't mean that there might not be some new concerns and problems they have, but it sounds like you didn't make a lot of specific notes about what happened.
Well, that's because I didn't bring them with me.
Okay, well, then we'll have to catch you another time.
What on Sunday.
We can possibly do it on Sunday. I don't know. Again, I don't know whether it bears a lot of close attention. There's a couple things that are happening that are positive in my mind that I want to quickly bring up before the time slips away. Here's a story from yesterday. Sunnyvale homeless battle grabs attention of Palo Alto lawyer. Palo Alto just recently overturned its vehicle ban, its vehicle habitation ban. The Monday City Council, I think it was Monday, Palo Alto City Council meeting, withdrew, rescinded, dumped, annulled the ordinance that had passed a year ago, which made it illegal to live in your vehicle. Until that time in Palo Alto, it had been legal to live in your vehicle. Again, neighborhood gentry gents had pressed to change that and did. But a court decision in Los Angeles called the Desert Rain decision, as well as very active activity from attorneys, religious organizations, social service providers, homeless folks, and just plain people, raised such a stink that the city council, also mainly afraid of legal consequences of being sued, dumped their ordinance. Now you might think, well, maybe Santa Cruz can do the same. I've talked about this a little, and it's unlikely they will for a number of reasons. We don't have, you know, no social service provider is willing to show her face at the city council to support homeless civil rights. I haven't seen it in years, actually. Ditto with religious people, with the exception of Jim Weller. Ditto with attorneys, generally speaking. But the ACLU has made a few tentative moves in that direction, and that's a good thing. I'm going to be reading this story on Sunday, because I don't think I have time to read it today. It's about not just a victory in Palo Alto, but it's another struggle going on in Sunnyvale. I do a email to the HUF group, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. If you'd like to get that email, get in touch with me by calling the HUF phone line, 423-HUF, 423-4833. People were wondering earlier, and you mentioned earlier, Katie, Christopher Hedges coming to Santa Cruz on Sunday. And the specifics of that are this. It's happening 5:30 to 9:30 at the Inner Light Ministries, 5630 Soquel Drive in Soquel. Again, 5630 Soquel Drive, 5:30 to 9:30. An evening with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges, with civil rights attorney Daniel Sheehan, and Food Not Bombs co-founder Keith McHenry. And it's $15 for the door, $5 for students. Keith has told me privately people will not be turned away, but there may be, you may have to stand up and, you know, not get the most choice seats or something. Again, that is at 5630 Soquel Drive. It's kind of out in the, I don't want to say the boonies, but it's on the outskirts of Santa Cruz. It's outside the city limits. In fact, it's in the nearby unincorporated town of Soquel. Now, along with that, sort of in thinking about that, I'm going to play a bit of Christopher Hedges debating with Occupy activists the issue of the diversity of tactics. I began this discussion on Sunday, last Sunday, and this is actually another, this happened I think 2 months, actually this happened a year or two before the previous discussion, but this issue, the same issues are raised, and I think it's interesting to bring it up. I myself am still debating a lot of these issues, perhaps you will too. Let's hear some of this. Unless there's something you need to...
I wanted to mention the people I have spoken to that their RVs are being banged on in the middle of the night, not by police, but by neighbors or different people. These people that I have talked to, these are not bad, awful people, but they are under extreme stress. They're nervous. They're afraid. This is not the way to treat people.
Unlike the RV dwellers who have comfortable, spacious RVs and they're very comfortably settled, they feel very secure in what they're doing, and these poor people who live in their $100,000 to $400,000 homes or who rent them are very anxious and nervous about the RVs that occasionally park nearby. I mean, why am I not sympathetic? You know, I get real tired of hearing Don Lane and Micah Posner go through this litany of concern about paranoid nonsense. I'm not saying that if you have a problem, you don't drive away people without providing them alternatives. Otherwise, you're saying you're right not to have your lights taken, because this is the one woman I talked to after the city council meeting. She was a reasonable person. I mean, if that's what you're saying, that these are ordinary folks, they are. They're ordinary folks captivated by fear and delusions. But you don't want to justify those delusions. I don't want to justify those delusions.
I don't want to justify them either. But in behalf of some of these people, I think it's appalling that we do have a homeless population that crap on people's yards.
Well, if the bathrooms aren't open at night, where are they going to go? Why is it appalling? See, it's bullshit when you say that. I'm sorry, I can't agree with you. We have a caller, and maybe you can defend poor Katie, who's being savagely attacked here. Hi, caller.
Oh, I can barely hear you. Can you turn it up?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, but I didn't hear what you said.
I said that, I'm babbling back at Katie, and Katie's got her thoughts.
Okay.
You tell me what your thoughts are.
I just wanted to brief comment about the ridiculous, just obnoxious city council meeting.
Tell me about it.
Well, where do you start? I mean, it's talk about kangaroo courts. And it's all set up ahead of time, and, you're right, when people make speeches, you're really making the speeches to the public and certainly not to the council, because they've already figured things out. And the stay-away order proposal, the first reading of the second edition, which has now given us, like you've written, the kangaroo court, the thing that struck me, and I, not to invoke Goodwin, but, the good Nazi is sort of the thing that kept coming up in my mind as I watched the posturing, and they kept asking, you and a lot of the other activists were saying, well, why is this happening, or why are you doing this? And the repeated line was, well, we're not against the homeless, we're against criminal behavior, and it just so happens that we've made homelessness criminal. And it's so circular and so ridiculous and so obnoxious that it's almost funny if it wasn't so pathetic and deadly. And the frustrating part I had was watching the so-called progressive, which he's not, I don't think, Don Lame, in his, well, I'd support this if you have a outreach worker, helping throw people out, thing. And so he voted along with it. And I wished Posner would have made, at least attempted to offer a friendly or unfriendly amendment, which would be to have excluded, at the very least excluded camping, infractions from being included in any stay away order, because that would have really isolated what is really going on here, which is it is about banning the homeless from public areas.
Sure. Actually, I talked to him tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I you've got to get some balls. I think I may even use those words.
That would be a good word.
That says, because, you have an option to, if you're not afraid of offending your friends in the police department and the staff, which he is the problem, you would make the obvious amendment, which is, if you want to go after antisocial behavior, then specify it.
Exactly.
I think that's bullshit anyway, frankly.
It is. It's all bullshit. But at least you isolate the bullshit, and then what you do is you make the obvious, And because then, of course they would shoot it down. I mean, none of those people are going to say, oh, yeah, sure, let's let the camping, be excluded. They drop their ovaries and their testicles and run to the hills, the opposing it. I mean, but it makes it obvious about what is actually going on.
Right. I mean, that can still be done at the second reading.
Well, I hope someone, I don't see Don Lane doing it because he was running to the other side quickly. So it would only have to be Posner, but I don't get the inclination that he's interested in doing that.
It has to be the audience and educating the public about what's really happening.
Right.
Again and again. And that education will have to go beyond the next council meeting because it's likely to pass. And that education will simply have to be through every time every stay-away order is issued. There has to be an organization created so that every single parks ranger and cop who dares to give a stay-away order gets dragged into first, a hearing with a stupid hearing process they have that essentially ignores the presumption of innocence and says, you got to prove you're not guilty by a preponderance of the evidence, and then we'll let you wait for the court hearing where you'll be able to have a real trial, which actually won't be a real trial because it's before one of these judges, but still, it'll be at least a formal court trial. Where you'll get the, guilty unless, innocent unless you're not guilty unless there's proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So, it's going to require a lot of action by people, frankly, who I don't know have the energy or time to do it. And also, I think this what we're trying to do by, and I suggest people come down who have friends who are homeless who are getting tickets or stay-away orders. Usually it's both, because you can't get a stay-away order theoretically. Well, in fact, without an infraction ticket. But come down and give these tickets to us at the Food Not Bombs table between 4 and 5, and we will then get claim forms, and we may even have claim forms by then. I'm going to try to get some tomorrow, I think, or have somebody else do that, so we can file claims against the city for each particular violation of civil rights that happens here.
Absolutely. I think the only avenue now, and it's pretty obvious, is to basically clog up the system. And if you can do that with the help of your friend down in Southern California, and maybe even help with the Monterey Law School dean guy, and get some basically people to train to work the system, in essence, then if you can clog it up a little bit, then that they might not think of it as such a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I think, this guy has been successful not simply in clogging it up, but also in winning victories in court. And that's in his hometown, Baldwin Park, and that's,
right,
you know, where he actually has other issues that he's been addressing. But he seems to be not just vigorous and successful, but he also seems to be aware that the courts are fundamentally... And for attorneys, I have the notion that somehow you get somewhere in the courts, but I think he also understands that in another way, the courts are simply a sort of a reflection of and a distortion of the power structure and part of the support for the power structure that we're all suffering
over
here.
Oh, absolutely. Look who gets appointed or how, or, you know, or if they're invested in getting reelected. I mean, it's the whole, you know, it's the whole system. And, you know, as you know, in Santa Cruz, there's a lot of people who are, you know, they're not going to be particularly necessarily helpful, and that's why I said, you know, if you can't win, at least part of the strategy can be to clog, and the other strategy is going to be, I think, you know, extra legal in terms of just like what's been going on in terms of protesting. But the bigger question is, you know, how is the community, the activist community that's left, is what's the ground game? You know, like how can we start tying together the various issues?